Hello, Hawk fans. Welcome to another edition of Bang the Drum. My name is Joe Greenwich, and I am joined by the head coach of the St. Joseph's men's basketball program, Billy Lyon. Coach, thanks for joining us.
Joe, pleasure. Looking forward to this time with you.
We're sitting here a few days before the season opener, and you know Philly's a big college basketball town, so it's usually an exciting time for fans and for folks in town. But usually there's a little bit of a sports lull buildup. You know, the Eagles play once a week, but the Phillies just finished a few days ago, so the city kind of got that whole energy going with the team and with the Union playing in the MLS Cup final. Did that energy kind of work its way into your program, into the guys, you know, a little bit of Philly spirit? You got a lot of local players on the team.
Well, personally, it's wrecked my sleep schedule. That's which I can't believe how tired I feel. I'm like, why do I feel so tired? Because I have great energy, but it's just staying up late for these games. It's goodness gracious, when the Phillies were in the World Series in the 80s, and when I was growing up in 1980, I should say, even when they played the Orioles, I think it was 83, I can recall vividly like being in class and the teacher putting the game on. And now it's like at 12:03, you're still staying up. And you know, these Phillies were so captivating. It definitely brings a great energy to not only the team, but also to our campus. We have so many regional people that attend St. Joseph's University. The Phillies, I think, were captivating in terms of their personality and their story, that they kind of had a Hawk will never die spirit to them,
right?
That made them interesting to watch and fun to root for. So for sure the energy, but definitely a little bit more tired than normal.
Well, you mentioned that sort of energy and spirit. People talked about those guys as being like perfect for this city.
Yeah.
When you're putting together a roster, not to kind of veer off track, I know we're going to talk about, you know, the exhibition season and what's coming up, but when you're putting together a roster, are you thinking about, you know, like the identity of where they play as much as the name on the jersey?
Totally. I mean, our first few years, we couldn't think about any of that. We just needed to have some people here that could actually put the jersey on. I have such respect and admiration for the community that is Hawk Hill. I think that it represents real people. There's an amazing authenticity. There's a passion. And so as you start to think about having the team at its highest point, you know, the program at its highest point, you want to captivate that passion from within your locker room. And I feel like we're getting there. I would be wrong if I said we were there, but we're getting there. And then the other part is they're going to feel that when they are here. You know, the Hawks become born here. They might not come in as Hawks, but when they're here, they become Hawks. So, Joe, interesting for us, or as interesting for us, not only is that type of spirit, I want people that will appreciate that spirit, so then when they're here, the community starts to become a big part of who they are.
Right. And you guys had two exhibition games, one of which was dedicated to part of that community with the autism awareness. We'll talk about that in a moment. But holistically, you know, the two exhibition games, Towson, Widener, what do you think you learned about your team in general? Maybe there's a couple specific things, but as a whole, you know, obviously an exhibition game, you may be coaching it a little differently. You know, different guys are playing with different other guys. What did you learn about your team as you get ready for the real schedule, so to speak?
Well, going in to the season, and let's talk about like the summer and August, I knew we were young. We knew we were young as a staff. When you're actually in a game against someone else, and it's hard to avoid having any combination of not having four freshmen or sophomores out there once we sub, you realize this is very true. Like, you can say it because it's evident on paper, and then there's the evidence when you're out there. With that, the positive that we feel we gained as a staff, there was great resiliency, you know, a great emotional stability. And, you know, the winning and the losing was not the focus in those two games, but the players, they're going to play to win.
Right.
And so, you know, Towson is arguably a top 75 team in the country. We were struggling to score early. It was our first time against another opponent. And then as they just kept going and going and going, they really never changed their demeanor. Same thing when we played Widener. I mean, they made every shot. I mean, I give them credit. I don't know if they could do that again. Maybe they could. That's why I'm glad we're not playing them. But again, same stability, you know, down up two, 5 minutes later, up 21. And what that tells you is this group has a chance to continue to grow to be in a united front as the season goes on. So yes, they are young, but I think they're young with a very mature spirit, and we're going to have to continue to build off of that.
much gets made of like the closed door scrimmages. Was there a difference in the fact that these were exhibition games where there's people in the stands and you know, it's not just like, all right, you can stop the game and redo a situation. No, you're playing a game and that clock is ticking and you can't reset that clock to 2 minutes when it's down to 2 seconds.
100%. And, you know, Rob Sullivan deserves a lot of credit for trying to get this off the ground with the exhibition game. And so the NCAA, thank you for their support of our cause here for autism awareness, and thank you for the Kinney Center for supporting it as well. Then after you get all that done, now you go into like coaches, players, managers, support staff, people behind the school, but like it's very real. You know, you have four timeouts, you're only playing 40 minutes. You got to try. I wanted to get everyone in against Townsend especially, and we were able to do that, but like everything is real, and the players are like, wow, he can't just stop like we stop in practice all the time to teach. You have to like now be able to learn on the fly. It's totally different than a closed door scrimmage, and I would welcome doing it again if we're able to do it. I think playing two exhibition games is the way to go.
Is it helpful for you to kind of, you know, we say everybody needs preseason reps, obviously the players, but for you to get back into the in-game mindset?
Yeah. I mean, I'm on my 7, 11, 13, 14th year as a head coach, and that doesn't mean that it still feels new and you get butterflies every time the ball is tipped up, but it's easier to make that adjustment than it might have been 3 or 4 years ago. With all that being said, I have other things that I have to think about. So it's who goes in? What's the lineup? What's the foul call count? Am I taking that guy out? What are they doing? What type of lineup could we have that could maybe counter what they're doing? Those things, in practice, you're teaching, but in the game, you're teaching, but you also have to try to strategize as well and see where the game's going, let it speak to you, and then do it. And we were able to do some of those things in these two games.
You talked about, you know, being a coach for so long. Do you consider yourself a basketball fan still, or is it, you know, when you're in the season, it's Hawk basketball and that's it? Or are you sitting home, you're watching other college games, you're watching the Sixers? What's your basketball fandom set up like?
Well, let's say the season's 4 months long for games, right? November, December, January, February. Let's just say that, knowing that, you know, our goal will be to play to April 1st one day, but let's just call it 4 months. Those other 8 months, I'm watching a ton of basketball. In these 4 months, I have to stay focused on us. And part of it is just you have to know yourself. I'm very curious by nature. I'm resourceful. I think those things are strengths, but there's times where they're for sure a weakness. I don't want to see something someone else is doing, and all of a sudden I'm coming in, I'm like, oh, that makes sense, but it might not make sense for Rashear Fleming and Eric Reynolds. So during this spring, summer, fall, I watch a lot of film. I watch film on European teams. I watch film on other college basketball teams. I watch film on the NBA teams and just try to learn and continue to grow, whether it's player development or defense or offense or situational. But, Joe, in the season, man, I need my own energy for these guys, and we're very young, so they need it more than ever. I'll read a lot in the year because basketball, you know, when you draw a diagram and you write, hey, this is where the one goes, this is where the two goes, this is where the three goes, this is where the four, this is go to the five. The older I get, my first question, well, who is that one? Who is that two? Who is that three? And so I want to
be different.
It's the people.
Right,
it's people. It's their spirit. It's their knowledge. It's their timeline. It's how they handle stress. It's their ambitions. It's all of those things. And so reading helps me to focus on the person part of it. I'm watching enough, and every time I'm watching our team play, I'm watching the team that we're playing against. Right. And so you see enough. I know it's a long-winded answer there, but
so
I love
no
basketball.
11 o'clock West Coast
no,
games.
I love basketball. I could do it all day, every day. It's a condition that I have forced myself to do. And really working with Jay Wright taught me the importance of just being where you are, being locked into your team and not getting distracted, because there's 1,000 other ways to do things out there. But we have our own people, and they need your attention.
Kind of explains why the 11 o'clock baseball endings are a little bit too late.
Yeah, that's all right. But
especially
that was good.
It leaks into November.
But you know, like, for example, the catch it was McCormick, right?
Right.
Okay, so we came in the next day, and I believe we're getting ready to play Widener. And I show that clip, all right? And it's a baseball clip. And so, obviously, it's a baseball clip. And, like, they're all fascinated with the catch. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you have a young team, there are a lot of things that they don't realize are important. One of them generally is transition defense. Like, they don't understand the importance of getting back if you don't go for the rebound. Right. All right. Because in high school, in AAU, if you're better, you can just steal the ball in the backcourt. But at this level, you can't do it. And so what I tried to show them is forget the catch. McCormick ran 92 feet on a ball that was traveling 104 miles per hour to go make that play. That's first three strides. That's not giving up on a play. That's sprinting. And so I found great value in staying up that late at night to do that. But, and it's different, right? It's different. So I'll stay up if it's worth it, but I can't oversaturate myself with hoops.
You never know where you're going to find
You never know where you find the inspiration. That's exactly right.
Is there anybody that maybe you didn't know you might find something out of in the exhibition games? Like, was there somebody that surprised you, I guess is the best way to put it? And obviously, you know these guys are talented. That's why they're here. So they're not surprising you. But were there a couple of takeaways that maybe you didn't expect to be takeaways so soon, if I can put it diplomatically?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the obvious ones would be Rashier Fleming. And what makes it, I think, more surprising, and probably most of our fans don't know this, he didn't really start scrimmaging with us five on five until late September, early October. He missed all summer. He got he came here, he had a foot injury, ankle injury in very early June. And, you know, a credit to Rob, our PT, and Neil, our athletic trainer, and Eric, our strength coach. They did a great job of, you know, maintaining his interest and curiosity during the summer. It was very hard. He literally couldn't do anything, Joe. So we got him back late September, early October. So I think it's more the peace level that he played with. I mean, there's so many different things he has to work on and get better. He's never played this hard his entire life because he's never played this many minutes. And so I think just seeing, though, the confidence that he had, I think was a really big takeaway. There were a ton of other ones, but that one sticks out the most.
Before we take a break, the exhibition game with Towson we mentioned was an autism awareness game, and the Kinney Center here at St. Joe's is huge with that, and there's been a lot of integration with athletics and the Kinney Center. Can you talk a little bit about the team's experience that day, what you guys did as part of that game?
Yeah, one of the themes that I try to talk to our guys about, that, like, I wish I would have had this perspective when I was their age. You should look at everyone like someone's child, because they are. You know, everyone is someone's child. They have a mother, they have a father. When you have that perspective, when you gain that perspective, there becomes a level of empathy, compassion, servanthood to see it that way. No different, like, you know, somebody loves their child as much as these guys' parents love theirs. And then that starts to bring a joy and an understanding of how important it is to serve others. So, you know, here we are. We're a few hours before our game against Towson. And these guys haven't played yet, and they don't know what to expect, but they know that Towson's supposed to kill us because they're really good. And they're out on a court in this clinic with the children and the students that work for the Kinney Center, which is an amazing story in and of itself. We can talk about that, a whole podcast dedicated to that. And I just see the energy, the laughter, the joy, the attention, the care. Like, it was real. It was authentic. So I just was really proud of our guys for being able to spend an hour before they get into their pregame routine truly serving someone else's child.
Do you think that is something that maybe they didn't carry into the game, but just having those sort of experiences in such stark contrast right before you're in a competitive environment, does that have some sort of, I don't know, like a mental approach benefit, just, you know, some sort of calm before the storm, I guess, is a way to put it.
I mean, I didn't think of it. It could, you know, we certainly weren't going for that.
Right.
I mean, I think that you can be competitive and compassionate at the same time. You know, the ultimate way to be competitive is to respect your opponent and want to just annihilate them because you think they're that good. At the same point, I think perspective is very important. And, you know, we're in it. You know, we're judged every day. We get all that. But at the same point, we're part of a human race here that should be really trying to help the other guy. So if it gives them a joy, if it gives them a comment, if it even gives them an appreciation for the opportunity to go and play for St. Joseph's, that will in and of itself create more passion and competitive energy when they take the floor. That was not the purpose of it, but if you're right, then we should be doing it more. We should do it before every game.
Life lessons and on-court lessons at the same time. Let's take a break. We'll be right back with more with head coach Billy Lang on Bang the Drum. Today's show is brought to you by Mainline Health. 4 suburban hospitals, 4 top regional rankings, and a proud sponsor of the St. Joseph's Hawks. For award-winning human care, visit mainlinehealth.org. The Kettle Club Podcast Network is brought to you by Rothman Orthopedics. Rothman Orthopedics, the official team physicians of your St. Joseph's Hawks, provides the region with unmatched orthopedic care. For more information or to schedule an appointment, visit www.rothmanortho.com. For orthopedic excellence, think Rothman first. And also by Univest. Handle all your banking remotely with the Univest mobile platform. Easy, convenient, and secure, because life needs a little more wow. Live life, stay connected with Univest. Univest Bank and Trust Company, member FDIC. We're back here on Bang the Drum with head coach Billy Lang. Coach, you mentioned a young team and having so many young players on the court by default, really not having any other choice when you put your subs in. So how have some of those newcomers transitioned to the team? We talked about the difference between the scrimmages and practice and an exhibition. So you've gotten to see them in a competitive environment. How have they made the adjustment from high school AAU ball to the very beginning of the college game?
Their willingness to learn has been impressive. When you have success doing it a certain way, and then you're in a realm of something like basketball where you've had that success, and then now you have to learn new things, it's just natural to be resistant. It's just natural. And, you take guys like Christian Winborn, Rashir, Kreist, these guys have been willing. At the same point, like Casper played, 10 games last year or 11? Lynn Greer played 10 or 11 games. I look at these two guys as their freshmen. I mean, combined, they played 20 games, and Eric is only a sophomore, and that's just where the group is. It starts with a humility and a willingness to learn, and that starts with having good relationships with them where they know that you care about them. The other part is they know they're going to play. It's just where our roster is, and it's been part of this transition that we've been a part of here the last 30-plus months, that this was inevitably going to happen. I wish it would have been a couple years ago, but it isn't. So here you're in this moment right now, and I think that they recognize the responsibility that they have. There will be a time here when the group gets older where it'll be hard to play this many freshmen and sophomores. And so this opportunity they have right now, I think they've shown great respect for it. And it's been really, for our staff, a focus has to be to capitalize on this youth. Mm-hmm. You can't come in, Joe, and focus on the arrival. You have to allow them to become. And if we push the maturity too fast, it would be like putting a child on a 10-speed bike before the training wheels, or throwing them into the Atlantic Ocean in Ocean City as opposed to just dipping his toes in. You have to allow this to take somewhat of a natural progression. And what we've learned in this time, think about when we're young. What are the benefits? You don't know a lot. You're a little fearless. You have great energy. You're courage. You're innocent. You haven't been scarred by the things in life. And so right now, those are our strengths. It's right. Not 75 games started together. That's not going to happen until it happens. It's not Christian Winborn's played 40 games or Eric Reynolds is already going through a sophomore campaign where the other team's scouting report. We're going to have to allow those things to become. And I think if they continue to be willing to learn, which they are, and we capitalize on the benefits of youth, then we have a chance by the end of the season to be the best team we can be.
Kind of along the lines of what you were talking about, a lot of times you'll hear commentators say when you get to March, it's like, freshmen, at this point, they're sophomores and they've been through their freshman year. Do you put any stock in that? It sounds to me like freshman, sophomore, it doesn't matter. The experience and the growth curve might be different for each guy, and that's something that you have to actually kind of factor in and deal with.
I totally agree with you, and I respect that you see it that way, because that's the way a coach sees it. I understand that comment, and they're not wrong. And I think what they're saying is, how I take that is, they're now 30-plus games into their freshman year. Not game one anymore. Mm-hmm. But the next year will bring a totally different experience because the team changes. And so you got to go through an entire quest during that season. That's the beauty of this, is that it changes and flips. For us, it's been a lot of flipping. But Eric Reynolds is going to have a totally different year. I mean, this is going to be a complete growth period for him, because this is nothing he's ever been through before, what's about to become. I mean, he's going to be focused on every scouting report. And I believe he was towards the end of last year, but now it's going to be a lot different. And so you got to allow him to go through that. As the team then shares most experiences, Then when they come back, it's like, okay, this is their second or third year together. Now they have an opportunity. But he's a sophomore, period. You know, and so that's it. He won't be a junior until he is. And so it's the reason that it's important, I think it's a great question, and I appreciate you asking that. We can't see it that way. We can't control what the announcers say or what the fans think, and that's fine. They have to have their perspective. Our perspective has to be different, or we will recklessly coach and lead them. And so we have to allow him to become as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, everyone's going to have their first chance to become in the regular season Friday night, Veterans Classic in Annapolis, Maryland. Last week we saw the Eagles play the Texans. We had the Phillies playing the Astros in the World Series. Keeping the Philly-Houston thing going, top five team in the Houston Cougars. I'm going to guess you're going to say you can't look at the number, you can't look at the rankings, you can only look at the film, look at the team. So how are you feeling? Obviously, you got to be looking forward to it. You've had the date scheduled for months
now. I'd like to have the Eagles front, the Eagles offensive line to help rebound. I'd like to have Jalen Hurts to run around with the ball. I'd like to have Schwerby up there knocking somebody's head off. I mean, look, we know they're picked to win a national championship. And so, you know, a few things. We've said this is a great program, right? We might not be great today, right? But the program, like what it stands on, is great. And we have a very, very high vision and ambitious quest to be a national perennial contender. Our players want to be pros. Here you go. You know, this is what it tastes like. This is what it feels like. This is what it looks like. This is what it is. And so you get an opportunity to do this. You're not going to turn it down. It would be great if it was the sixth game of the year, but it's not. It's the first game of the year. And not to mention, we get to go to the Naval Academy, where I was there for 7 years. And they're going to spend a life in the day of a midshipman. And so they're going to see what a Division I athlete at the Naval Academy does over the course of a day. And suddenly coming back and taking a few classes and having a mentor meeting with Rosemary and going to practice is not going to seem so bad. And we're playing on Veterans Day, which we get to celebrate all the people that have like selflessly served our country for our freedom. And so there's a lot of things connected to that. I think for the game, Joe, there will be some we want to win. Obviously, we want to win. But there will be some battles within that that will point to win or lose after. But it's like, hey, if we talk about playing in late March and April, these are the teams you got to play against. This is what it looks like. And no one was thinking Houston was going to be this 6 or 7 years ago. If you want to be a great player, here's Sasser and Sheed. These guys are pros, borderline pros. They probably will be in the NBA. This is what they look like. So we're going to come out of there, win or lose, with a great opportunity to learn. I hope we learn and win at the same time.
I mentioned ignoring the rankings and the names, and you mentioned predictions of where they could finish their season. Yeah. Is that something that you have to instill in the guys? To be like, look, it's the other team. They're very good. We know that. But here, you talked about the battles. Here are the little battles that we have to fight. Here's what we have to do to be successful. Do you try to instill in them that, you know, rankings and standings are that's kind of secondary, and you just got to focus on the things that you can focus on?
Well, yes. I mean, a couple things. If your approach to preparation changes just based on ranking, you're going to fall all the time, because then you're going to say, oh, well, this isn't that important. This is that important. So I don't need to tell them they're third in the country. They have phones. You know, it's all over. Everybody knows. You know, these guys have played so much AAU basketball. We've got guys that played at Roman Catholic, Camden. They've played against great players all their life. They just might. Now they're playing against great men. And so the fear of playing a good player is not in them. Now, how do you go beat a great team that has great players, right? What does that look like? And so that's the focus, but it's going to be the same focus on the next game. You know, all these teams have good players, they have good coaches. Some of them have a lot older teams. Like they have to learn how to go through all that. So I don't look, they know if we don't rebound, like, and we're not going to get every rebound. They're going to get some offensive rebounds. So I want to be clear about that. But if our intention, how about I use that word, is not to be physically combative in an uncommon way on every possession, we're going to get crushed. And so we have to, like, that's just enough for me to say, this is how you got to even stay in the game against Houston. So I don't need to say anything else outside of that. They already know that.
Well, the Hawks are going to take on Houston on Friday down in Annapolis, home opener Monday the 14th against Lafayette. Coach, thanks for joining us. Good luck, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Hawk will never die.
That was head coach Billy Lang from St. Joseph's Men's Basketball. Thanks for listening to Bang the Drum. We'll see you next time.
Be sure to subscribe to the Kettle Club Podcast Network on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or the TuneIn app. You can also find us at sguhawks.com/podcasts.